and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. It is bitterly cold again this morning, from here in New York all the way out to Oregon, where an ice storm has triggered treacherous conditions, and there's no end in sight to the misery. Meteorologist Samantha Moore checks in from the Weather Channel.
As we head towards the weekend, another blast of cold air is going to move on in. We're going to see reinforcing frigid conditions once again across the eastern two-thirds of the nation.
Fire officials in Portland say two adults and a teenager were electrocuted and died. A baby was injured when a live power line fell on their parked car. Power still out in Oregon to more than 41,000 homes and businesses. It's a chilly 10 degrees right now in the capital of New Hampshire, where Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis are looking for ways to make breakthroughs ahead of next week's primary. CBS's Jared Hill.
Former President Trump taking direct aim at Nikki Haley, his closest competition in recent polls.
If she wins, Biden wins.
Chaos follows him. And y'all know I'm right.
New Hampshire's Republican governor backed Haley's claim that the Granite State is a two-person race.
It's a one-on-one race, Haley versus Trump.
Earlier in the day, a judge admonished Mr. Trump over a courtroom outburst during his defamation trial in New York. The Indian Navy says it's rescued the crew of a U.S.-owned ship in the Gulf of Aden after yet another attack by Houthi rebels. Correspondent Cammie McCormick.
The Houthis say one of their missiles made a direct hit on the container ship. India says all of the crew are safe now aboard an Indian warship. After the attack, the U.S. military launched more strikes on Houthi missiles in Yemen. Freight rates have more than doubled since last month because of the continuing Houthi attacks in the Red Sea.
Attorney General Merrick Garland met with families last night whose children were killed in the mass school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, ahead of a Justice Department report today on police response to the incident. Oscar Arona's son survived.
It was very positive. We look forward to seeing the report because we think it will validate a lot of our feelings already as to what transpired and what didn't transpire, what should have happened.
Officers waited 77 minutes to take down the gunman. New findings on the blues after heart problems.
Therapy is just as effective as antidepressants in treating depression in heart failure patients. Research by investigators at Cedars-Sinai found patients recovering from heart failure who tried therapy alone had the same benefit as patients who tried antidepressant medication alone. About half of all heart failure patients experience symptoms of depression.
CBS's Michael George. S&P futures are up 3. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Republicans appear to have hit an impasse over legalizing medical marijuana. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu says creating state-run dispensaries is a non-starter. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he won't compromise to address Senate Republicans' concerns. Voss says the bill is the result of months of talks. Governor Evers says Republican senators were wrong to fire Public Service Commissioner Tyler Huebner. Senator Brad Paff was himself fired as acting Agriculture Secretary. He says Republicans are playing politics with the governor's appointments.
This rigid partisan ideology accomplishes nothing for the people of this state. And quite frankly, it just demonstrates to them that the government is broken and it does not work.
Republicans point out they've confirmed more than 480 of Evers' appointees. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks get clobbered in Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Just before the game between the Bucks and the Cavaliers, Giannis Antetokounmpo inactive due to a right shoulder contusion. Milwaukee only scoring 2 points in the first 6 minutes, losing to the Cavaliers by 40 points, 135-95. Head coach Adrian Griffin:
we have to learn from this. You have to. You can't continue to make these type of mental errors when the first, especially the start of the game. you know, the start of a game, which is, again, we dug ourselves in the hole, and this time we couldn't get out of it.
Up next, the Bucks play the worst team in basketball, the Pistons, in Detroit, Saturday afternoon. NFL, Mike McCarthy will remain the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. McCarthy has 1 year left on his contract there. The Packers held practice. They faced the 49ers Saturday night. How's defensive back Jaire Alexander doing with that sore ankle?
He's doing better. Just getting treatment and hopefully able to go.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
A little sunshine this morning, then cloudy with light snow possible late this afternoon into this evening. Less than a half inch of accumulation by the time it winds down. Our high today near 10, north wind 5 to 15. Tonight, snow ending this evening, clearing overnight, low of 2 below tomorrow. Mostly cloudy, 6 above. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 2 below zero.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6 past the hour on this Thursday morning, January 18th, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, all across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the Civic Media app, through social media, and by podcast. Nice to have you along as we work our way toward the end of another holiday-shortened work week. I was thinking about that. We had a 4-day work week because of New Year's Day, then a 5-day work week. Now, this one was a 4-day for many folks. I'm in favor of that. More 4-day work weeks, 3-day. Those all work for me. I don't know about you, but tell you what, you can tell us all about it or whatever is on your mind about the news and goings on at 844-967-2789. We'd love to hear from you. You can also text us at that same number or through the Civic Media app. Email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, or put a comment there on Facebook. You can catch us on the Facebook pages for Civic Media and for Up North News. Here's what's coming up this morning. Wondering aloud if, boy, talk about people that can't put in a 4-day or a 3-day work week. Is this the last dance for a lackluster legislature? Because if fair maps really are adopted in Wisconsin, and if the next legislature and the ones after that have to be more responsive to the needs of Wisconsin families, will we be able to get used to that? Will we be able to get used to no longer hearing about how lawmakers are avoiding issues like healthcare and education because they'd rather be talking about naked bike rides and firing qualified public servants? We'll talk to Joe Zepecki later this hour and get a feel for what's happening there in the Capitol. And then in our second hour, we'll have Dr. Kristen Lyerly with us with her Women Win Wisconsin spotlight trained on Sarah Kieski of Lodi, a mental health counselor, farmer's daughter, parent of 6, who's now running for public office. And we'll talk about what motivates her to do that. We'll talk to Luke Mathers to find out what's coming up this weekend across the Civic Media Radio Network. And meteorologist Brittany Merlot will join us about an hour from now to, I guess, tease a little bit more this warm-up that's coming. I didn't realize when she first said it, I thought, oh, it must be right around the corner. Now, we got to get through another cold, snowy weekend first, and then there's going to be a bit of a warm-up. And it's illustrated in these temperatures right now at 6 a.m. across Wisconsin. It is 2 degrees below zero here on Lake Wissota. Hayward is at 12 below. Park Falls, 13 below. There's a lot of zeros out there in Wisconsin. Don't take it personally. Wausau's at 0 degrees. Green Bay, 0. Wisconsin Rapids, 0. La Crosse is at 4 above. Oshkosh is at 6 above 0. Madison is +2. And I guess the tropical place right now would be in Greg Bach's neck of the woods, where it is a full 7 degrees. And there he is lathering up the SPF on his beefy arms there, and making sure he protects the nose. And don't forget up here, there's a little solar panel.
Don't forget the ears.
And oh God, don't forget the ears. Yes.
Do not forget the ears. You don't forget the ear. You forget the ears. Oh
yeah.
So much pain.
That'll happen. Mr. Bach, how are you this morning?
I'm doing good. While you were talking about short work weeks, I sent you a little message. This is next week will be my first 5-day work week since the week before Christmas.
Ooh.
I'm like a French citizen. I mean, come on
yes,
now.
Yes, you are. Yes. Yes.
Oui, oui. Oh.
Yep. I totally get that. Yeah. And like I said, that really would work for me. There's all this talk about, will more and more people, move toward 4-day or even 3-day work weeks. And my view has always been, if whatever your job is, if you can get it done, in that certain amount of time, then you go ahead and go for it. Because it's not about the quantity of hours. It's the quantity and quality of the work you do.
Yeah. I mean, the other side is that can be a selling point too. Like, hey, if you can get your 40 hours in 4 days or whatever, like I worked for a place.
Some people do 4-10s or 3-12s or whatever the case may be. Yeah.
I would totally do 4-10s if I could. Not in radio, of course, but I could do 4-10s.
No, I mean, some things don't lend themselves to that, we always joke about that with Sherry being an OBGYN is like, you can't just like clock out at some point and go, well, I got my hours in. You can push the rest of it from here, right?
You've seen movies. It's fine.
Yep. Nothing to it.
Here's some scissors. So you'll be great. Pay on the way out.
Not every job works that way. And even within healthcare, I can't recall if I told you this or not, but as the pandemic was really kind of setting in and more folks were staying at home, a lot of healthcare went to telemedicine, which for much of healthcare was really good. You could still visit with your doctor. You could still talk to your doctor and maybe, say you had, something on your hand or something. You could hold the hand up to the camera. Yeah. And somebody where Sherry works made mention to her crew is like, there's not as much telehealth being done by, the OBGYN folks. And Sherry just says, think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
this is not a field that lends itself to telemedicine. We can't be like, hey, scooch a little closer to the camera. That's not telemedicine. That's porn at this point.
Hey, doc, I've got a pain in my upper inner thigh. Let me show you.
Jeez. So for those fields where it works out, that's great.
Yeah.
But there's some things that AI and robotics just really can't do at this point. But again, however folks do their weekend, mine, I guess, is a little bit shortened from a home standpoint because I'm going to hit the road and we're actually going to do the show together in person for the first time tomorrow.
Heck yeah. I am looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. The boys are reunited. Well, they're united.
Reunited for the first time.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. The lone wolves are here.
Yep. And Don Brown will join us as well to talk more about things that happened right there in Waukesha. So that's going to be a really nice thing to have happen here. Before we get into it, there's not a lot for sports other than the Bucks just got drilled. Oh, my God. I turned that TV on. I thought I'll catch a little bit of it. It was 22-2.
Yeah.
Just,
my friends are a huge Bucks fans. They lost so hard, they were laughing. It was like, I don't even know what to do with this kind of tomfoolery.
No, it was, I mean, obviously, you're like, was Giannis in? No, nay. Giannis was not there. Yeah. And Cleveland pounded the Bucks 135-95, a 40-point loss. Giannis was out with a bruised right shoulder. Hopefully it doesn't last too long. But that's the whole thing about what we've been saying ever since the trade for Damian Lillard and missing Drew Holiday is talking about defense.
Yep.
And it's going to be easy every single game for the Bucks to give up 135 like they did last night, which means they got to score 136. That's not as easy, especially with Giannis on the bench. You're only going to score 95. But what I was going to say about sports is the other subject involving sports is getting sports on TV, because Bally Sports has been circling the drain for some time here in bankruptcy proceedings. And it appears Amazon is going to ride to the rescue, but I'm still curious as to what this rescue is going to look like, because all of the reports say that as they buy up all these Bally regional sports networks around the country from a parent company called Diamond Sports, you know, you'll be able to see more games on Amazon Prime. But what I'm not getting clarity on is it all going to go to Amazon Prime? Are we going to have to subscribe to a streaming service to watch the Bucks and the Brewers and others? Or will there still be a Bally Sports cable channel for folks who, you know, get their sports TV that way? Or are we going to have to pay for even more for everything that we used to watch for free?
I mean, honestly, as a baseball fan, it's one of the most confusing situations to be in, because you're like, oh, this game is on Fox. Oh, this game is on Bally's. Oh, this game is on Apple TV Plus?
Peacock? Yes.
I mean, honestly, it's just, you know, if you could give me one uninterrupted streaming service for baseball, because MLB, you know, like, they're like, oh.
Because even MLB isn't, yeah.
It's not great either. Just one place. No. And, man, don't black out my team. Like, I'm paying you money. Let me watch baseball. Like, I used to be able to watch this for free on Channel 6.
Yes. But, you know, back then, the market, quote unquote, the market where they would black out games, that would be like, you know, Milwaukee proper or Green Bay, you know, just the immediate area. But everybody else up here across the rest of greater Wisconsin, you know, we're shut out.
Yeah.
If you're in, they use the example of Iowa, where you've got Cubs fans, Cardinals fans, Twins fans, Brewers fans, you know, they would get nothing. So bottom line is, we still don't know all the details of this yet. So this is more like not a warning flag, but just kind of a reminder of keep an eye on this, because we may be getting to a point where, again, you're going to have to be a paid monthly subscriber to get something that used to be just part of your cable bill. And that's unfortunate, this proliferation of streaming. It's just not working for the customer. And people are going to look back at this time as very much a transition phase and go, oh my God, how did people deal with all this stuff?
Oh, they've already done the studies that the services that streaming services provide for the cost, especially the rising costs, it's more expensive than cable. It's not as convenient. And it's just not worth it anymore. But what do we have every streaming network? Pretty much.
Yeah.
And I'm still for 40 minutes on Netflix going, what do I want to watch?
Yes. I mean, I would get them and I'll just scroll, watch the Netflix thing, scroll. Nothing there. Let's go to Prime. There's nothing there. Yeah. Let's go to Disney. No, let's go to Hulu. Let's go to Apple.
You've watched 1,000 times.
It's true. It's so true. It's either we're picking up a stand-up special, you know, from a comedian that we like because we already know that we're going to like it, or we're back over on TBS watching reruns of Big Bang Theory just because, you know, it's a known commodity, you know?
You know what you're in for.
We've tried all these other different shows. We don't necessarily stick with them. I'm thinking of like the morning show on Apple TV. There's plenty of other examples. Mrs. Maisel, the Kaminsky Method. All of them are fine, but you know, they're not appointment viewing. You have to remind yourself to go to that streaming service and then pick up where you left off.
Yeah.
And it's inconvenient. So you know what people ought to do instead? Listen to their favorite shows on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I see what you did there, Pat.
You see what I did there?
You smart, young man.
All right. Well, you all just keep that right here. And when we come back, we will unpack the news on this busy Thursday, talking about a lackluster legislature. What should they be working on? What have they been doing instead? All across the Civic Media Radio Network, we're live from Lake Wasota. When you're here, you're up north. Back in just a bit.
The Tap.
What a win! The Green Bay Packers now face the San Francisco 49ers this Saturday night in California. Catch every play and score on the Packers Radio Network, locally in Racine on WRJN 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM in Kenosha. 98Q Country in Park Falls and in Richland Center on WRCO 100.9 FM. The Packers against the 49ers this Saturday night. Pre-game at 5, kickoff 7:15. What a team! The Packers and the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Coming up in today's history lesson, we'll have a little tidbit about Stevie Wonder. So we'll be playing a little bit of Stevie Wonder today. We'll be playing a little bit from David Ruffin and the Temptations for reasons that will become clear, oh, about 30 minutes from now or so. All right, sports-wise, we mentioned the Bucks getting absolutely killed by the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. They next play two games in Detroit. They are in Detroit for games Saturday afternoon and then again Monday night before they come home next week. One other college basketball game of note, the 22nd-ranked Marquette women's basketball squad lost last night at Villanova 66-63. They will be back in action next week, Tuesday, hosting 9th-ranked UConn. A reminder that the Up North News daily newsletter is out, and you can sign up for that over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click newsletter in the top banner there. Christina's newsletter that she put together this morning, 6 Wisconsin dive bars to put on your 2024 bucket list. I know we've talked about that a couple times here. We'd love to hear your thoughts on your own favorite dive bar. There's also some information on all the many workers who are classified as independent contractors and who consequently lack benefits like overtime and access to unemployment insurance. And there could be some rule changes that make life a little bit better for you. So you can find that in today's newsletter. We asked the question, where is Wisconsin's most expensive neighborhood based on average home prices in that general area? That and much more. Again, sign up for that newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. We'd love to have you as a subscriber. 4 years now we've been at this, putting together a newsletter, putting out a daily news product, and just want to thank everybody from a newsletter standpoint. That thing went out to the 6 people sitting in the room, you know, the first time that we did it in January of 2020, and now it goes out to more than 100,000 people. And as the folks at Bartles and James used to say, we thank you for your support. All right, at some point, there's going to be a new legislature. There's going to be new maps. Races are going to be a bit more competitive. You won't have talk of super majorities that can override gubernatorial vetoes, because the legislators won't have time to think about fighting with the governor. They'll have to actually do work for the constituents. And that gives me hope that we might have some more productive legislative sessions. Don't get me wrong, there's still going to be ridiculousness, as there is in all things political. Some people got to have their moment. But there also come some days when they get some work done and you work on priorities. This week in the Wisconsin State Senate, it marked the first session day of 2024 and the first session day of 2024 with a new Senate minority leader, Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein of Middleton. And at day's end, she put out a statement that pretty well summed up where things are and why we need new maps and a better legislature. She noted her disappointment at the lackluster calendar. You can look around at neighboring states that have been prioritizing the real needs of residents. She says, it's unfortunate that my Republican colleagues are content sitting idly by as states like Minnesota and Michigan seize the opportunity to uplift working families. She says, we should be following the lead of our progressive neighbors and enact a paid family and medical leave program, codify abortion protections, expand quality, affordable health care, fund our public schools, provide breakfast and lunch for students, fully legalize marijuana for responsible adult use, and enact so many other common sense policies. And you're thinking, yeah, those are things they could be working on. What are they doing instead? Well, as we've discussed already this week, they in the Senate, Republicans are finding time to be petty once again and firing a well-respected member of the Public Service Commission just because to cause more chaos and again make the, as was said yesterday by Melissa Baldoff to us, just to when they say government doesn't work, they then go do things to prove it and to say, see, look, government is broken, because we broke it. What else are they working on? Let's see. There's the naked bike ride ban that also came out of the state Senate. A note from the Capital Times here says the Senate Tuesday approved two bills that would effectively criminalize participation in Madison's version of the World Naked Bike Ride, among other events. These are the things that they're working on right now. Here's something else they're not working on. Medicaid expansion, known in Wisconsin as Badger Care, to new moms. We're going to talk to Joe Zepecki in a couple of minutes, and he's going to fill us in on how you are not going to believe how many states have done this and how few are with Wisconsin in having not expanded Medicaid coverage to new moms more than 60 days. Right now, they only get 60 days of Medicaid coverage. And then if they have other health issues, and new moms have serious health issues at times up to a year postpartum, and they are out of luck. There is not the kind of coverage here that you would find in many, many other states. What else are they taking their time on instead? Well, the former chair of the Assembly Elections Committee is still screaming in the Assembly chamber to be recognized because she wants to force the Assembly, she wants to force her fellow Republicans to vote on impeaching Megan Wolf, the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Now, Speaker Robin Voss has pretty much given up on that. It's turned out to be a great big loser for legislative Republicans. It's not a good look trying to fire the well-respected head of elections in Wisconsin. Janelle Branchen of Menominee Falls has actually, lost her role as Assembly Elections Committee chair because of her mischievous remarks and deeds about buying into Donald Trump's big lie and spreading conspiracy theories. And yet there she is on the assembly floor trying to be recognized, and her own Republican assembly speaker won't recognize her because he knows this is not a road Republicans want to go down anymore. But of course, they're wasting time doing that. What are they not doing? They're not doing immigration reform. For example, there is a new column from John Torinas, a longtime business leader and writer in Southeast Wisconsin, and often speaks out about business issues in Southeast Wisconsin. He is somebody that I won't say centrist or moderate necessarily. I would say he is probably right of center the way that I am left of center, in that sometimes we have common ground and sometimes we don't, but we agree to disagree. But he has a really good column out now at johntorinas.com that is basically saying what the business community is saying to legislators and members of Congress. And that is to stop demonizing the immigration issue. Stop calling for mass deportations. Our country needs legal, reformed immigration more than ever. It can be done. Our agriculture industry needs it. Our manufacturing industry needs it. Get to work on doing this. And he lays out point by point the many benefits and the many ways that lawmakers at the state and federal levels could take this issue seriously. But they don't. It's always this talk about, building walls and locking up borders and doing absolutely nothing about the labor shortage except loosening safety laws for child laborers and trying to force seniors back into the workforce. It's these kind of misplaced priorities I hope are going to be set straight once we get new maps in Wisconsin. Let's continue this conversation with Joe Zepecki in just a bit, live from Lake Wissota. This is Up North News Radio across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
Well, December was pretty mild across the state of Wisconsin. That really helped our livestock producers stay ahead on manure management. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. But now things have changed. Now we've had plenty of snow, and next week with a warm-up, we're going to have water to manage. Kevin Erb, who is one of our state conservation and nutrient management specialists, says, although you might have thought you were ahead of the game as far as manure management, better keep it on your manure storage system.
We'll get a plug pipe. We will get a water break, or something may happen in the barn, and that storage can fill up sooner than it really should. And so this time of year, I really encourage producers, whether you've got 50 cows in a manure storage or whether you've got 5,000, to at least once a week walk out by that manure storage, take a look, make sure that it's not getting fuller than you expect. A lot of our newer storage have what's called an MOL, or maximum operating level marker, in there that you can use as kind of a reference to see how close you are getting to that point at which you may have to take some action to prevent a problem.
Kevin Erb with University Extension, he's a conservation and nutrient management specialist. He suggests that you take a look at your storage facility at least once a week. Make sure you're staying ahead of any maintenance issues. Markets in overnight electronic trade after a tough day on Wednesday, starting to try to rebound. Numbers are next. Fabulous Farm Babe, glad to be joined in studio today by Doug Munson. He is the gentleman that is working in conjunction with the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board to make things happen here in the state of Wisconsin. What starts in Wisconsin can have a ripple effect across the United States.
That's what we always hope for, is what are those ripple effects? You know, for every dollar that's invested, it's a return of $12.34. You know, how those investments really bring value, they can be debated or they can be looked at in many different ways. Biodiesel brings, I think we say over a dollar now, you know, years ago before inflation, we'll say, it was 63 cents to a bushel of soybeans that brought that value. Whether it's 63 cents or it's $1.34, which we've heard as high as that amount, that's a huge amount of value to your bushel of soybeans. So those are the things that are ripple effects, right, that can start in Wisconsin or sometimes at the national level, but have big impact in the world of soybean.
Doug Munson, in studio with me on behalf of the Wisconsin Soybean Association and the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, the financial driving force behind our research that's done here in the state of Wisconsin. For more, pop on over to cornsoyexpo.org. On Wednesday in Chicago, the barrel cheese finished a quarter of a cent lower at 146 and three quarters. 40-pound block cheese was down a penny and a half at 150. Double A butter up a penny and a quarter, 258 a pound. This morning, our March corn up a penny, 443. December new crop unchanged at 475. March soybeans are up three at 1209. November new crop up three, 1192. July wheat's unchanged right now. And February class three milk's up nine at 1580 a hundredweight. There's your market snapshot. I'm PM Yonke.
93.5, The Tap.
A little sunshine this morning, then cloudy with light snow possible late this afternoon into this evening. Less than a half inch of accumulation by the time it winds down. Our high today near 10, north wind 5 to 15. Tonight, snow ending this evening, clearing overnight, low of 2 below. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 6 above. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 2 below zero.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap.
We're back on this Thursday morning on Up North News Radio. As always on Thursday mornings, it's kind of like if it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press. If it's Thursday, it's Joseph Pecky. It doesn't. We could put that on a coffee mug, maybe.
Sure.
I don't know.
I mean, at least one person. My mom would probably drink coffee out of that.
Say one. And that Melissa's back there shaking her head, going,
"Yeah,
no,
not her.
No, she has to deal with you every damn day." But we get you Thursdays, and we're very happy about that. Before we get to our regularly scheduled weekly view of Wisconsin political stories, let's go next door to Iowa. Now, I have never attended the Iowa caucuses. I've never had the luxury, shall we say, as a reporter all those years, or in politics. But you have a little exposure to the magic that was the Iowa caucuses.
Yeah, 2008. I was working for one of the Democratic candidates for president, and that was my caucus experience. I had actually started the year 2007 in the great state of Nevada, working in Las Vegas, and in the fall, they transferred everybody from around the country into Iowa to go all in. Our candidate, Christopher J. Dodd, a senator from Connecticut, moved his family to Iowa for the home stretch, enrolled his daughter, Gracie, in kindergarten there. Theretofore unknown levels of commitment to the people of Iowa and to be a neighbor. This year, I think Vivek Ramaswamy rented an apartment, not quite the same thing as enrolling your kid in kindergarten. And for all of that trouble, we yielded, I think, approximately one delegate at the county level and none statewide. But a really remarkable slice of Americana, the Iowa caucuses.
Oh, it really is. But I got to say, coming out of the one this week, the Republican caucuses, and so many people at the national level all jazzed up about Trump and his margin and everything else. And I'm just left here saying 100,000 people. All of this was for 14% of Iowa's Republicans. I mean, I'm not going to say it was an entire nothing burger, Joe, but it's just not as big as they make it out to be.
But it is if it sets the tone for what's going to happen. And, I think you and I have known for a long time that it was going to be Trump, but now there's votes being cast. But
you could hear it in Nikki Haley's voice, and you could hear it in Ron DeSantis' voice. They could not wait to get out of there. In their closing remarks, it was, you know, basically, we're on to New Hampshire, which was their way of saying, see you later. No, I never will. Ever again, get me out of here. So,
the caucuses have probably outlived their utility.
Oh, I've said multiple times already, the Democrats were very smart to get out of Iowa. Someday, maybe when Iowa is more of a purple state in play, but right now, the return on investment compared to starting in South Carolina, I think the Democrats were geniuses to not be beholden to that one Midwestern state.
Once the oceans rise and the coasts disappear and Iowa becomes four times the size it is today due to climate refugees, maybe it'll be a good place to put these again.
There we go. All right, let's get closer to Wisconsin here. And I'm going to start with your work with Protect Our Care, because you were part of a really good, impactful event yesterday involving our friend Dr. Lyerly, who we'll talk to here shortly, as well as Senator LaTanya Johnson. And it's all about, look, we've talked about the Medicaid expansion forever, it seems, and why Republicans won't expand Medicaid. But this is a more specific part of Medicaid expansion that can save lives for new moms in Wisconsin. And I'll finish the setup just by stealing the one bit of thunder. Wisconsin's one of only four states that hasn't done this thing you're going to explain. If you're on a list of four states with Idaho, Iowa, and Arkansas, you're probably doing something wrong, Joe, and that seems to be the case here.
That's not a list you want to be on. Yeah, so for generations, Medicaid provided for 2 months, 60 days of postpartum coverage for new moms and babies. And under the American Rescue Plan passed in 2021, Joe Biden and Democrats were able to say, you know what, this isn't enough. When we think about maternal health care, when we see maternal mortality, when we see deaths after childbirth, it is not, as Dr. Lyerly, I'm sure, will explain, these are not like as baby is coming, out the chute, so to speak. It's in the weeks and months after when you are a new mom for the first time that you have so many additional risk factors. And so what the American Rescue Plan allowed for was for states to opt in to extend just for moms on Medicaid who are already on Medicaid for other healthcare services to get, rather than just 2 months, than just 60 days worth of postpartum coverage, to extend that to a year. And 46 states and the District of Columbia have done the very common sense thing to say, yeah, that makes sense. That's a good deal. We need to support new moms and babies who are on Medicaid. And here in the state of Wisconsin, you have a broad constellation of groups ranging from the anti-choice movement to the pro-choice movement, the March of Dimes, the Heart Association, like 50 organizations from all across the political landscape saying, Wisconsin should do this. This makes sense. You have a majority of the legislators in the Wisconsin legislature have co-sponsored this. It has passed the state Senate.
And what was the vote in the state Senate there, Joe?
32-1.
32-1. But this was last October.
It was.
And it is still languishing in the state assembly. Why?
We all remember that bill sitting on Capitol Hill in our schoolhouse rock. Mm-hmm. Passing one house of the legislature is not enough. The assembly needs to take this up. If the assembly took it up, it would pass with bipartisan support.
Easily.
And so the one reason, the one person who is standing in the way of this happening is Assembly Speaker Robin Voss.
Who has repeatedly said Medicaid is welfare and he's against welfare.
He could schedule this. Wouldn't even have to vote for it. He could just say, all right, let's let the people of Wisconsin's, you know, delegates to the state legislature decide. It would pass. And thus far, he has not scheduled it. We are urging him. And what you heard from Leader Neubauer yesterday was an appeal to schedule this. Let's bring this to the floor. Let's get this done. Within the last 10 days, we've seen new Republican legislators sign on to the assembly bill as co-sponsors. So clearly there is a bipartisan appetite to do something good for new moms and babies. Right now, all that's standing in the way is Robin Voss.
Who, by the way, in switching gears here, but keeping on this theme of assembly versus Senate, came out with this rather seemingly convoluted plan about, you know, legalizing marijuana use for medicinal purposes. The state would run these dispensaries, et cetera, et cetera. But no matter how much he tried to explain it, it doesn't matter. Because the Senate Republican leader, Devin Lemmy, who says, yeah, we don't like it. We're not going to pass it over here. This continued disconnect between Robin Voss and the Assembly Republicans and Devin Lemmy, who in the Senate Republicans. I mean, you're not getting much done anyway with split control. But when even the Republicans in the two different houses can't agree, I mean, they are almost literally getting nothing done.
Well, they have a very important bill about nude bike riding, don't they?
Yes, of course. We've got to take care of the nude bike rides. I mean, priorities, people.
They can fire qualified applicants to essential, like critical state boards. But like, I love the PSC one. The PSC is like the backstop and government accountability when there's like massive power failures, which as Wisconsin survives a deep freeze, like pretty important to have people on the job, right? We look at it to our neighbors in Texas and their whole, you know, power infrastructure is a disaster. Here, the board of people accountable, you know, for like making sure the utilities are getting things done. Hey, Republicans got time to fire Tyler Huebner.
For sitting on the PSC, the Public Service Commission, also a national leader of sorts, well-respected in utility regulation circles, but because he had the audacity to want to make sure lower-income families could afford their water bills and that the PSC was aware of a changing climate. I mean, that's what Republicans criticized him for, but let's be serious. This is just all the same power play games. It's all the Republican legislators seem to know how to do right now.
Well, where I would disagree with your characterization a little bit is like Robin Voss knows exactly what he's doing. Like they don't actually want there to be any form of legal cannabis. If they did.
Right. This has always been a smokescreen, pun intended.
Right. Yeah. Like if this was a good faith bill, Robin Voss knows how to pick up the phone and talk to Devin LeMahieu and you know, check with his caucus and think through some of the absurd what I would call like poison pills within this, which are like the state is going to run all five dispensaries. Robin Voss knows that conservatives aren't going to go for that. He used to be one. Now he's just a big government boss, you know, in Madison. And so if he was serious about getting there to be medical marijuana, you could criticize him for saying he doesn't know what he's doing. I would say he doesn't want this to happen. He knows exactly what he's doing, which is he's giving just enough cover to his caucus so that when, you know, they're knocking on doors and asking for votes later this year and people say, when are we going to get legal cannabis? They can say, well, hey, we tried. Well, we put tried. A bill forward. But those the state senate, you got to talk to your state senator. And it's nonsense. And, you know, it's a play for time. And a way to try to escape accountability. But that's what it is. It's not a serious bill.
And so theoretically, possibly, we're in the waning days of lackluster legislatures. Because if there are fairer maps later this year and more competitive races and more legislators who feel that they can be accountable to the voters rather than the extreme ends of their parties, maybe we'll see some substantive work done next year. But that takes us to these maps. 6 days ago, seven maps were submitted to the state Supreme Court. There's been some analysis done of all of them to one degree or another. What was your own take on the seven maps that were brought in? Do you have a feeling like one's going to carry the day? Where do you think this is all going?
My feeling was that they all confirmed my priors. How about that?
Okay.
I've always felt like Eeyore in this conversation, kind of bringing everybody down and being like, guys, you know, new maps are not a magic solution to taking control of the Wisconsin legislature. We're going to have to go and win tough races. And based on the way that all seven maps were scored, you know, obviously the ones submitted by legislative Republicans were like 62 seats instead of 64, right?
Yes.
But the rest of them, they all are tough to, you know, there's no guarantee of anything for Democrats. And so whatever map gets picked and however this shakes out under, you know, that meets the constitutional muster, Democrats are going to have to go and win races. You're going to have to talk to folks about what's at stake and how Republicans in the state legislature have cost this state dearly in the last 10 plus years of their control, almost 15 years of control now, on everything from failing to raise the minimum wage, costing the state hundreds of billions of dollars by refusing to expand Medicaid, which meant we could have covered more people and spent less money. We've missed out on opportunities to invest in education and in our kids and in our schools. We've wasted away, you know, money in handouts to those at the very top for things like vouchers to subsidize parents who are already sending their kids to private schools in every corner of the state. There is a cost to Republican leadership or Republican, you know, lack of leadership in Madison. And we have to have candidates in every part of the state ready, willing, and able to make that case, regardless of what the maps look like, because we have to bring some people with us and change some minds to be a majority party at the state legislative level.
And then quickly to wrap things up, there's now a new legal challenge filed based on the congressional maps. Is that too far to go with too little time left?
Listen, I understand the argument that these litigants are making, right? If there's a constitutional standard that says, you know, they have to be contiguous, that using least change, if that was one of the formula, you know, one of the sort of cornerstones of a set of maps, and if that cornerstone is deemed to be out of bounds, then everything that flowed from that is out of bounds as well. And so if we want to get, you know, get ourselves right with the Constitution, it sounds like we got to do both the state lines and the federal lines. Whether both can be done before November, I'm skeptical.
It seems ambitious. Joe Zepecki, thank you so much as always. Have a great weekend.
Talk to you.
It is just never going to be a dull moment in 2024 election year politics, especially if maybe some new maps are coming for the congressional lines as well. Coming up next, today's history lesson, musical memories, and a visit with Dr. Kristen Lyerly next. You're up north.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
No, no, no. This applause is not for me.
It's for me.
It's for me.
It's not for you. No. It is for a birthday boy, David Ruffin, born this day in 1941. From The Temptations. Can turn the
gray sky bluer. Oh, yeah. Whenever
I wanted to. Look, you can take every Temptations song, everyone. Ain't Too Proud to Beg, My Girl. Just make sure I get to keep this one.
It's so good.
Because in some alternative universe, man, I do not have stage fright, and this is one of my karaoke songs, man. Oh. This would be so. All right,
I remember
David Ruffin
playing this in marching band in college. Oh man, we were out in the field, just like grooving.
Just hey, somebody, we're just a grooving.
Somebody unplugged your mic over there again. Stop letting those kids in the office.
Nobody did anything.
All right. Well,
I'll check it.
Check your mic.
You'll check it. That's right. Anyway, where are we at?
Don't worry. You're still an amazing doctor.
Yes. Yep. David Ruffin, born this day, and it's getting closer, 1941, passed away in 1991. On this day in 1964, the Beatles broke into the U.S. charts for the very first time with this. Oh, yeah, tell you something. Now, when this song I Want to Hold Your Hand came on, it began on the singles chart at number 54. It eventually got to number one in short order and stayed there for 7 weeks, and a legend was born.
Pat, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
And I mean no disrespect. How old were you when this song came out?
I was what they call a zygote. Is that the right terminology there, Dr.
I was a zygote.
And the reason why I ask is because I'm always very interested in people who knew the Beatles when it was new, like when they heard it when it was brand new. That's a very interesting thing.
I like to talk to those folks as well. I'm one of those who, being born in July of 1964, I had to learn to appreciate certain groups later. The Beatles, I thought Elvis Presley was, you know, this overweight druggie. I later in life appreciated him. You know, the early days that I didn't get to see because I was too young. You know?
I bet we have some listeners out there who remember the Beatles when they debuted.
I would love to hear from them at 844-967-2789 or text us and say, what was your first impression? What I've heard from several, you know, famous singers, Billy Joel comes to mind first, but others have said this. They saw that first Ed Sullivan appearance in February of 1964.
Yep.
The country is still reeling from the Kennedy assassination 3 months earlier, but it was like lightning struck, and the country was never the same. That you could make music that way and appeal to a younger audience that way. But if other people have an impression, we'd love to hear about it.
Yeah.
I've asked my parents, who were 18 at the time, but they were also 18 dealing with a teenage pregnancy that resulted in you know who. And so I'd asked him about, you know, were you a Beatles person or a Rolling Stones person? And they were like, we didn't have time for that. You know, we were young parents.
We were raising a
Pat Kreitlow and then three siblings that came after that. So I love hearing that from people about the early years of the Beatles. Birthdays today include actor Kevin Costner is 69 today.
You know what? You couldn't help yourself.
Nope. But I said it. Congrats. I'm like, nice.
Nice.
Happy 69th there, Kevin Costner. I don't know how he does. When I see clips of Yellowstone, I don't watch it regularly, but when I see the clips, and he's got this very gravelly voice, and I wondered if something had happened as he got into his mid to late 60s, something happened to his voice. But you hear him in other clips, and it's like, no, that's a voice that he puts on for that character.
It's an affectation.
It's just like your radio voice, Pat.
I don't know. Do I?
No, this is actually, this is Pat's always voice.
I was going to say, I think I always talk like this. What are you talking about? I'm always in game show mode over here.
I'm the so sorry to hear about your mother.
You know, the other one who does that is Melissa Rauch, who was Bernadette on Big Bang Theory. Had that very high, squeaky voice.
Yep.
Uh-huh. And now she's on Night Court in her normal voice.
It's like, weird.
I don't like your normal voice. Go back to the squeaky one. You know, Dave Bautista might be one of those too. He's 55 years old today, the former MMA fighter and actor from Guardians of the Galaxy. That can't be. I don't know that I've ever heard his real voice, his speaking voice. It can't be. What's his character's name? Drax?
Drax or something, the Destroyer. And also, not to mention, WWE Hall of Fame legend.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You've seen Guardians of the Galaxy, right, Pat?
I've seen them all, yes.
Uh-huh. Adorable. And,
I know. Love the movies. Number one song this day in 1975 was by Barry Manilow. How happy you made me, oh
man, when you came and you gave. Remember all the girls who were named Mandy after the song came out?
And yet, it was supposed to be called Brandy. But that other song called Brandy was on at the time. Brandy, You're a Fine Girl.
Featured in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yes, looking from Looking Glass. So they had to change it to Mandy. So all these babies that were named Mandy, y'all should have been named Brandy. We mentioned Stevie Wonder earlier. He, on this day in 1989, became the youngest living inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer at age 38. On this day in 1778, James Cook is the first European to come upon the Hawaiian Islands, which he names the Sandwich Islands. On this day in 1978, Warren Zevon released his most popular album, Excitable Boy, which included this little number.
I wish you all could see Greg howling in the corner right now because he's priceless.
To me, it's just a palate cleanser because we did Kid Rock's birthday yesterday where he bastardized this song, you know, for his own little song. By the way, didn't realize this album was co-produced by Jackson Browne.
Nice.
And again, released this day in 1978. On the calendar today, this is National Gourmet Coffee Day, National Peking Duck Day. Does anybody make Peking Duck anymore? It is Winnie the Pooh Day, the anniversary of the author's birth, A.A. Milne. And it's National Thesaurus Day, a day when we celebrate or commemorate or have a party or remember.
We're so close to cutting your mic.
So close. Anyway, Kristen's going to hang around. We've got our Women Win Wisconsin segment coming up with a very busy mom-turned-candidate. And I sense that won't be the last time we say that into 2024. So stick around for that. Brittany Merlo's forecast and more on the other side of this news.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown.
And all of Wisconsin.
93.5 The Tap. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.